Praise be Jesus and Mary. The gospel today exhorts us to allow ourselves to be captured and captivated by Christ. This gospel takes place around the month of October, the year before the crucifixion and death of our Lord. So we've got a few more months leading up to that time. But nevertheless, we see that tensions are starting to rise, right? The crowd is gathered, and the gospel says that some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ," and a dispute arose amongst them. And then we have the guards who were sent to capture Christ. They come back and they say, "Never before has anyone spoken like this man." And so what are these words, and what did our Lord say that caused this type of reaction? So we're in St. John's Gospel, chapter 7. And basically, this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the gospel says that our Lord stands up and he proclaims in a loud voice. He says, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And so there are other things before that, that Christ too taught and spoke, but this happened to be the last words that those guards heard. Okay, and so these are the words that caused this division among the people, some saying, "This is the prophet," others, "This is the Christ." And then the guards say to themselves, "No man has ever spoken like this man." So our Lord says, "If anyone thirsts," what is he referring to? He's referring to that spiritual thirst, the thirst of the heart. If anyone is thirsting, is desiring happiness, and especially a happiness that completely satisfies and never ends, right? Isn't that really what our hearts desire? And so that's what our Lord is saying here. If anyone thirsts, and in fact, we all have that thirst. That's part of our human nature. And he's saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Okay, he's not offering a doctrine that will satisfy, but he's offering himself. Let him come to me and drink. And what does he promise? So this coming to Christ refers to believing in him, because the next verse says, "He who believes in me." So this is what it means to come to Christ, to believe in him with a faith of obedience, that is ready to obey what he says, that is ready to love him with all of one's heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then come and drink, and he is ready to give those living waters, which, again, the gospel goes on, says he is talking about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. So this is the Holy Spirit that comes into the soul of the believer and fills him with virtue, right? Supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and all of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, as well as his consolations. And so our Lord is making this invitation to everyone, and yet not everyone accepts it. We see the different reactions in the gospel, right? There's a division among the people, and some rightly start to question, well, he's from Galilee, and the scripture says that the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. And later on in this same gospel passage, we notice the Pharisees saying the same thing. Okay, good point. That's the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, that says the Christ will be born in Bethlehem. However, when you have a man speaking in this way and then backing it up with these great miracles, that requires you to investigate further, Right? The same dynamics are going on still today because Jesus is still speaking to hearts. Okay? And this requires a person to investigate and to find out, well, what's going on here? Who is this Christ? And about his claim to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Is that believable? Really believable? So the crowd and the Pharisees have a moral obligation to get to the bottom of things and investigate and ask, maybe even Christ himself. The scriptures say this, and you're not from Bethlehem. Explain to us. We want to reconcile what's going on here. But notice the laziness of the crowd. And again, this happens in our own day and age, right? It's so much easier to go along and to just go on living the way you've always been living. You know, I'm not disturbed here. This is causing a disturbance and a division among the crowd. The end of today's gospel says, then each went to his own house, right? Some to find peace from the disturbance and to go on with life as it had always gone on. I don't want to be involved and I'm not seeking any further. But not so with others. They did seek further and wanted to know more about Christ. Now, we have the reaction of the guards, and actually, they've got the best reaction going on because they were sent to capture Christ, and instead, they themselves were captivated. And so they're listening to his words, and they come back. Now think about this. They're reporting to their bosses on why they haven't fulfilled their job. They could have made up an excuse, right? They could have said, well, there was turmoil, disturbance among the crowd. We didn't want to start an insurrection. We didn't want blood to be shed. And so it wasn't the opportune time to take him. But notice how upright they are, how honest and simple. In fact, they're basically accusing their own bosses. They come and say, never before has anyone spoken like this man. It's almost as if they suspect there's something more than man going on here. We see a man. He has the voice of a man. But what he's saying is otherworldly. He who comes to me and drinks will never thirst again. Right? These aren't the words of a mere man. And so it's as if they're saying to the Pharisees, why did you send us to capture this man who is speaking the truth? And so the onus is now on them. Don't they have a moral obligation now to go and investigate and get to the bottom of things and figure things out for themselves? But they don't. Why? Not because of laziness, like some of the members of the crowd, but because of envy. Because of the envy. People held him to be a prophet, some to be the Christ. These were the religious leaders. They wanted the attention and the honor. And so they simply start making accusations and making excuses. Nicodemus, for his part, continues to respond weakly. Right? He has a sense. He's the one who met with Christ secretly by night. He's the one who makes a weak defense of Christ at this moment, but he's not ready to come out openly and declare his faith in Christ. And then each went to his own house. Because ultimately speaking, right, in this matter of faith in Christ, everyone is in it for themselves. Okay, we all have to answer for ourselves, not for anybody else. Nobody else can make an act of faith for you. Nobody else can observe Christ's commandments for you. This has to be a personal response. And so we each have to go to our own home, that is, within our interior, and reflect and pray. And then, with the help of the grace of God, believe and embrace wholeheartedly that which we have come to believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.